Thank you very much. First of all, let's please start the recording. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the At-Large Capacity Building Working Group call taking place on Wednesday, 10th of January 2018 at 1700 UTC. On our call today on the English channel, we have Tijani Benjema, Cheryl Langdonor, Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, Remy Weike, Glenn McKnight, Liana Galstian, Sridip Rayamaji, and Alfredo Caldero. On the Spanish channel, we have Alberto Soto, and currently no one on the French channel. We have received apologies from Marisa Moll and Maureen Hilliard, and from staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Gisela Gruber, Edin Ergoğlu, Claudia Ruiz, and myself, Yeşim Nazar. Our Spanish interpreter for today's call is Veronica, and our French interpreters are Camilla and Claire. Before we start, I would like to remind everyone to state their name before speaking, not only for the transcription, but also for the interpretation purposes as well. And now I would like to leave the floor back to you, Tijani. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Yeşim. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening for everyone. This is our student working group call, the first one of 2018. First of all, you have the agenda on the Adobe Connect. Do you agree with it? Is there any objection, any proposal to change something? I see hands. I hear nothing. So I consider the agenda adopted. Okay. Now, this call is an organizational call for the working group. Since it is the beginning of the year, we already made a call for membership for this group. We also asked the old members or the old members to confirm their membership if they wish to stay on the group. And this took, I think, 2 months. We gave them 2 months as a period to do so. And finally, we have now a new list of the Capacity Building Working Group members. For your information, most of our old members confirmed their membership. And we have now new members. I am so happy for that. Second point, we today in this call, we will select our chair, the chair of this group. It doesn't mean that I am resigning or I don't want to continue. It is to permit to anyone who wants to volunteer, and I will be candidate also, and it is up to you to decide who will be your new chair. I think this is a very good practice that we have to do for all the working groups, because I see that most of our working groups have a chair forever. And this is, in my point of view, not seen at all. Also, they are not confirmed. If they were confirmed every year, it is not a problem. But they are not confirmed. Nobody speak about that. It is automatic, and it shouldn't be automatic. Also, the members, normally in the past, we add members. We don't remove those who don't want to continue. This year we did that because we need our group, our list to be live, we have only people who want to be on the working group, who want to continue to be on the working group. They are now member of this working group. So this is what this is the organization side of this call. Also, this call will be for assessment of the 2017 program. And then it will be a planning opportunity for 2018. So first of all, I will go to the agenda item number four, which is the assessment of 2017 program, and I will give the floor to Evan, who will make a presentation about the evaluation tools. Evan, please.
Hello, Tijani. Thank you very much. And Yashim, if you could kindly please update the slide, if you will. I'd like to thank the at-large support team, including Mario and Yashim, for helping me put together the results of all the webinars, the surveys, as well as the pop quizzes from 2017. So you'll see in the AC room a short presentation that we have which analyzed the results from this year. The first slide is the participation rate in the survey. As you can see, the averages varied, but on average, it was the same as last year. It was 50% participation rate. So of the participants that attended each webinar, this was about how many responded to the survey during the webinar. And the highest participation rate was on the 26th of April. And then going up to the next slide. We have the participation rate for the pop quiz. The average was 41%, which is lower than 2016, but we should note that we unfortunately didn't have the results for two of the webinars from this year, so that could have affected the average. So overall, I would project it was between 40 to 50%, about the same as the survey results. With the highest participation rate from the 14th of June webinar. The third slide, or the question from the survey, was regarding the timing of the webinar. Most participants felt that the timing was just right, particularly for 1300 UTC. 2100 UTC was the other offered time, and that was also overall welcomed, but 1300 had a slight edge. And then regarding technology use for the webinar, most participants across all the webinars thought the technology was very good or good, so that was great news. Regarding the speakers for each webinar, this was probably the highest satisfaction of all the survey questions. Almost all of them thought the speakers demonstrated extremely strong or strong mastery of their chosen topics. And the same goes for the overall satisfaction with the webinar. No one from any webinar reported being slightly satisfied or not satisfied at all, so that's great news. Almost everyone was satisfied or extremely satisfied. And regarding the region, they lived in the moment. I think there's some slight interference. But on average, you could see there might be a correlation between regions that perhaps had less or had needed more capacity building as opposed to more developed regions such as Europe or North America. Asia, Australia, and the Pacific Islands had the most attendees with 28%. And how many years of experience do you have within ICANN? This question was slightly adjusted from last year. Last year, the question had a breakdown that was broader between different years. It was categorized from 3 to 10 years, but this year it was more specified as 3 to 5 or 5 to 10. And so most participants had about 5 to 10 years of experience within ICANN. And so overall conclusion, we can say survey participation was about 50% of total attendance. 1300 UTC worked best. Choice of speakers and technology were very satisfactory. In general, everyone was satisfied with the mastery of topics, technology, and timing. The pop quiz accuracy demonstrated retention of the information among participants, and participation, on average, there was higher participation in the survey than pop quiz, but no clear correlation can be drawn. So that's it overall, and I do have further breakdown of this information, including all the questions that were used. So if anyone has further questions, feel free to ask now or follow up with me or the support team afterwards. Thanks very much. Back to you, Tijani.
Much, Evin. If you have any question to Evin, any remark? Otherwise, I'd like to tell you that Evin made a very good job. In fact, we are lucky. We are lucky because we have wonderful staff with us. We have Na, we have Yeshim and Evin, and all of them are doing very well. So we are really lucky. I feel comfortable in working in this working group. Glenn.
Yeah, hi, it's Glenn for the record. A couple of things. I'm just curious, what is the strategy to, I'm not sure how to say this, but how do we get the new ALSs or the more activity in terms of attending these sessions? Because many of us, it's valuable information, but many of us that are on have been around a long time. And I'm just curious on the strategy, Tijani, I'm not putting you on the spot, Tijani. I'm just general. How do we compel people who are new to see value to come to these sessions? And in the chat box, I said, can I get a flyer of all, you know, a nice flyer so I can put it in our newsletter? How can we as rail leaders, you know, compel or convince people to see the value of coming to these sessions? So I don't have an answer, but I'm just, it's an open question. Thank you.
Yes, and your question is very, very important because I already remarked that, and when I will make my comments on the analysis, I will speak about that. We can notice that the attendance, people who are attending, the most part of those people are experienced people. And this is something that we have to address. It is not a bad thing to have experienced people on the webinars, but it is more important to have newcomers, to have new people. And when we noticed that, and even if we have already asked you to give us your preferred topics, we thought that those proposals come from experienced people, you. And I don't think that we have to ask you, we have to ask the other people, the newcomers. Perhaps this is because we are proposing themes or topics who are not interesting for newcomers. So that's why we relaunched the survey, and we asked all the RALOs to please ask their members to give us their preferred topic to be addressed in 2018. So your remark is very pertinent. We already are working on, and please, if you have any idea how to drag more or less those newcomers to come to our webinars, please tell me. But we are trying now to ask them, to ask those people to give us their preferred topics. Perhaps they will be more interested and come to our webinars. Thank you very much, Glenn. The second one on the list is Alfredo. Alfredo, go ahead, please.
Yes, this is Alfredo Calderon for the record. I just wanted to add to what Glenn mentioned. My perception is that some topics are important to a particular region. So my concern is, how can we have a balance? We can have capacity building that has to deal with a particular region and probably will get more audience from that region. And then there are those topics that, like Glenn mentions, we need to address the newcomers. How can we make them aware that this is a way that they can get to know other colleagues from all over the world and get involved in what's happening in that lab, and also have some sort of capacity building? Like, for people like me, I'm interested in becoming a leader within ICANN and at large, but I don't think that the webinars are helping me out as much as I would like them to do. Those are my comments.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, for you and Glenn, we will try in the future to make our invitation also on the social media, so that people who perhaps don't receive emails or don't, are not in the loop can see it and can come to our webinars. This is, we are trying, so I hope that we will manage. Now for the specific topics for each RALU. The Capacity Building Working Group is for the whole at large. And any RALU who has a particular topic that they want to address them for their community, the Capacity Building Working Group can do that, can make a specific webinar for a specific region, addressing a specific topic. This is possible and this is in our mission. We have to do that. But unfortunately, we never receive special requests for special topic for special region. Instead of that, the regions are organizing themselves their own capacity building sessions. At the beginning, I argued several times that we are duplicating efforts. But since I noticed that no result from that came, I stopped arguing, and now it is up to anyone who wants to do it, who wants to duplicate effort, I don't mind. If you want the Capacity Building Working Group to do that, we are ready to do that, we are happy to do that, we have the experience, we have the competence to do that, if you want. But if you prefer to do it in your RALU, it's up to you. Next one on the list, Alberto. Alberto, go ahead, please. And I am happy to have you on the
Alberto
call.
This is Alberto Soto for the record. Well, I believe that this is something prior to the working group. And we have low participation. For example, in our RALU, we have a very low participation, and even worse, when we ask, what are the topics they are interested in? I mean, we can get little information or give little information to the working group. So I believe that we have to keep on working. And what I am what I'm proposing in LAC-RALU is to have very basic metrics. And if you remember, in ALAC, I mentioned not long ago the time of the amount of hours that we can devote to our task as ALAC member. I proposed metrics in LAC-RALU, and we are now working on that. They are now being translated to the different languages so that people can provide feedback. And I want to show that there is a minimum participation in monthly meetings, in webinars, and in working groups, either internal working groups or ICANN working groups or cross-community working groups. So that minimum requirement is not enough for an ALS, and the amount is only 12 hours a year. So this is not the same as the amount of time that we devote to our task. So I believe that we need to take that into account, and that because metrics are important, and we say that those not complying with metrics will not be able to use, for example, access the crop program, or will not be able to travel to the meetings sponsored by ICANN, so they won't be paid for that. So I believe that that is a starting point. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what other motivation we can provide, but that is my comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alberto. And I hope you have a better health now. And I am glad you are with us. Okay, next one on the list, Cheryl. Cheryl, go ahead, please.
Tijani, thank you. Cheryl here, but I think Heidi had her hand up.
Cheryl, go ahead. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Thank you, Heidi. sorry, excuse me. Cheryl Langdon, all for the record. A couple of things. I first of all want to remind us all, and by the way, I am a card-carrying fan member of using measurements and metrics, so delighted to have these analysis discussions, and I'm particularly delighted to hear what Alberto just said coming out of La Grillo. But I do want to remind you all, this is a 50% of those attending set of results we're looking at. So I'm not quite ready to take a blunt butter knife to my wrists over some of the outcomes of this analysis. For example, it is not an unreasonable hypothesis, but it is the newcomers, those who would be listing themselves as the least experienced in terms of years in ICANN, who are also least likely or least comfortable or least able to fill out the survey that is measuring it. I mean, that's just a hypothesis, but what I'm saying is these metrics are important, but we also need to be cautious and smart about, and there I mean S-M-A-R-T, about what we do with them. So I'm delighted to be having this conversation. I'm going to continue having this conversation, but I also don't want us to get too deeply heart-sore and concerned about what might be statistical variability in what we're asking and what we're measuring and then what we can do with it. Still important to do, don't get me wrong, but let's not, you know, risk throwing babies out with bathwater. I do think something coming out of Glenn and others who've raised the question of how we can encourage and improve the number of people who are relatively new in the ICANN world to engage in these high-level capacity building offerings we make is an important one, and I think we could probably dedicate a whole meeting, preferably actually a face-to-face one, on just that topic alone. That said, one of the things that strikes me is we actually offer in our, up until now at least, choices of topics and materials to discuss quite different topics for very different reasons. Some of them are designed very much as upskilling for ALS members and ICANN engagement. Others are specifically designed on improving knowledge and discussion and debate on a single topic, or for the purpose of getting information so that we improve policy input from the ALAC and at large on a particular matter or at a particular time, or even administration when we look at things that may come up in this coming year in terms of implementation of things that have come out of the ALAC review. So all of those things are really very, very, very different purposes as well. So we may need to look at different bandings, we may need to look at types, and we also don't need to forget that there are other forms of education and in-service learnings that ICANN offer at a macro level, and that the regions quite necessarily need to tailor-make for themselves. So, as I say, I'm not offering any sort of solutions, but I just want to raise some cautions to what I think is a very healthy and useful discussion. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Shireen, for these remarks. And, of course, we know that it is not a Bible, this analysis. We know that it is really not very accurate, that's very clear. But it is an indicator for us. And I think that there is no harm to try to have more newcomers on our webinars. And as you rightly said, our webinars are not only for newcomers. They are also for other purposes, as you mentioned them. You mentioned all of them, in fact. So I think that it is important to have newcomers. We need them because they are the future of our community. but we also need to address topics that are useful for the policy development process, for our community, that are important for the information of our community, and et cetera, et cetera. So you are absolutely right, and I agree with you. And we hope that we find a way. I think that with the social media invitation, it will we will increase the number of newcomers on our webinar. Alberto, is it a new hand or an old hand? I will give the floor to Heidi, and you tell me if it is an old hand. Heidi, please.
Thank you, Tijani, and hello, everyone. Just a few points here. You know, I've been listening very carefully to all of you. Glenn's point about the value added, I think, is extremely important. You know, we need to look at what value added these webinars and indeed all of the at-large capacity development brings to our ALSs. Perhaps what might be needed, and I'm going to do first a carrot approach and then a stick approach. Fortunately, the carrot has much more substance to it. And that is really a coordinated approach within at-large, within the RALOs, and this might mean perhaps some sort of mentorship program as part of the capacity development activities within that area. Also, ICANN Learn. I know we've been using that a little bit, but perhaps we can use it to a much greater extent and coordinate what's being offered on ICANN Learn as well as what we're offering on the webinars. Third is the Academy, which many of you know actually came from the at-large group, and perhaps we're not looking at what some of the courses that they're teaching or the capacity development activities that they're doing and what is available to at-large. Also, finally, the GSE. Each of those regions are having a lot of capacity development activities in their regions, and I don't believe that many of us know what those activities are. So it would be useful to coordinate, you know, first off, find out, then coordinate, so it's a streamlined approach to capacity development within at-large. So to do that, that might mean, you know, perhaps a working group call of this group could have some of those people on the call from the GSE, from the Academy, et cetera, from ICANN Learn to talk about what they're planning in their region so we can coordinate. So that's the carrot. For the stick, Atlas 3 is being planned for the Montreal meeting in October 2019. So, and we're talking about criteria for that, the Atlas 3 for the participants. Perhaps part of these webinars could be a set of the criteria for that. So those are some thoughts. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Heidi. Alberto, is it an old hand? Glenn, go ahead, please.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Yes, Tijani, if I may. I wanted to say something else. I wanted to comment on your comments, Tijani, about coordination. Heidi mentioned something which is a very good proposal, and my proposal would be to coordinate as well. Because we have webinars that are created by this working group, in our RALO we have webinars prepared by GSC and our own internal webinars created by Glacralo. So sometimes we have a certain overlapping of topics and activities. So I understand that there are very specific topics and we need help with that. But there are, but throughout time, throughout a year, there is a great amount of overlapping. So what I would like to propose, or propose again, if I may, is to have a coordination. I can personally coordinate with the LACRALO leadership and with the members of the GS team so as to see how we can unify or make webinars clearer for people so as to avoid repetition and to make the best use of the webinars without duplicating efforts. And I also have a personal comment as well. Thank you very much, Tijani, my health is quite well. I am surprised at my recovery. I'm recovering very soon. I have to do some exercises, physical exercises, so I have to, and my wife is saying that laying the table, washing the dishes is a good exercise for me. So that is what I'm doing. Thank you.
Happy to hear that. Thank you very much. So, Glenn, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, can you hear me okay?
I hear you very, very well.
Tajani?
I hear you very well.
Okay, thank you. Just a couple of things very quickly. Okay, thank you, Glenn, for the record. Very quickly, I just want to reiterate what Heidi was saying. You know, we do have a carrot and a stick situation, and what that all means is that, you know, we have events that, whether it's General Assemblies or the large Atlas III, you know, to encourage people to participate. I just want to share with you two things. When we did our General Assembly with Aaron back in New Orleans in 2017, we made sure everybody attended a pre-event so they could understand what Aaron was. It was compulsory. And there was a lot of work to chase some of these people, and some of these people weren't too happy. But, you know what, that's the price you pay when you want to participate as a community member. So we have capacity building within our own RALOS, not just this call, not just these monthly calls. We all have a responsibility. Now, I want to point out Alfredo. Alfredo and Eduardo have been incredible in coming up with an idea of, in our monthly calls, educational, small little, you know, a hot topic webinars. And this is a follow-up of our what we deemed valuable stuff at our GA. So Alfredo, he organized a very good session on Monday where Mark Boole talked about the net neutrality, and he brought in Mark Boole, who's the regional director of ISOC, and we had a very spirited discussion. It could have went on forever, but those resources are available. We you know, excite the community, and we're going to be doing this, and Alfredo is organizing these every month. We have a policy working group as well to see what the policy issues are. So we have a responsibility. It's just not this committee that should be responsible for this. We all do. Thank you.
Of course. Of course, everyone is responsible. The idea is not to duplicate efforts. The idea is to make use of the experience that this working group have had along these years. This is all. And if you prefer, again, if you prefer to have your own webinars, I don't have any problem. If you prefer to make all the webinars through the capacity building working group with specific webinars for specific RALOS and specific language with specific tools, I don't care. This is something that we can do very, very easily. If you prefer to do it apart, it is as you like. It is not a problem at all. We will continue in this way. We will try to have the maximum of people participating. We are not very successful in that, but we are improving a little bit, not very much. I hope that in the future we will have better results. Now, coming back to the analysis, we can notice that on 26 April we had the most participation. And this made me see the topic addressed. It was how ALS members and individual members may contribute to the policy development process. This is the topic that had the maximum of participation. I think that we have to consider this point in the future for 2018. Perhaps we will make another one. Perhaps it is a need for people. That's why people came more than for the others. The second one is the one of 28 March, and it was about at-large policy advice development process. Also, we have to consider that. Another one, which is at the same level as the second, was the new GTRD subsequent procedure and the importance for at-large. So those three topics, we have to consider them for the future, for the 2018 in my context. Another point of another remark I made from this analysis is that 13 UTC was the preferred time. In my point of view, in the future, we will not try to balance exactly between 13 and 21. We have to, in my point of view, we have to accommodate the time of the speakers and try to favorite a little bit the 13 UTC so that we may have better attendance. Another remark was that most attendees was from Asia Pacific and Africa. This is perhaps these regions are more in need of capacity building, perhaps, but not sure. We can also notice that the less the region where we have the less attendees, less participants is Europe. And this is concerning me. Because if it was because they are already well aware of everything and they don't need capacity building, I don't understand why the North American region, we have a good attendance from North American region. So this is a point that is concerning me, and we said it before, we have to also... And the last remark was the remark that we started with. Most people attending those webinars are between 5 and 10 years, 10 years of ICANN. Means that those people are very well experienced, and we need to bring to draw or to drag people, more fresh people, people who are not that experienced in ICANN. And as I said, the possibilities we thought about was, first of all, try to ask for topics coming from them. And this is why we made this campaign last 2 days ago. And second, we'll try to advertise our webinars through social media so that perhaps we have people who don't receive the emails can come to our webinars. So those are my remarks about the analysis. I would like to, yes, I have a queue, and we need to go very fast in this because we need to go to the planning. Alfredo, go ahead.
Yes, this is Alfredo Calderon for the record. Gianni, you made a couple of great points. My biggest concern is that in the webinars that you mentioned, basically I participated in those, but I felt that the approach was not really for newcomers, but for people that already know something about it and want to know more. So again, going back to the original point I made, we have to think about the newcomers that really don't know anything about it. How can we get them engaged? And then probably have a follow-up webinar where we go into case studies, where we have examples, you know, to make it from somebody that doesn't know anything to somebody that knows something that wants to know more. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Alfredo. Cheryl.
Thank you. Two things, Cheryl, for the record. Two things. First of all, Alfredo, I support you exactly on that. I also think that's where I was talking about bans and fit for purposes. There are probably very good reasons why some topics are more popular at different times, and drawing on different types of experience. And we may need to look at that and also look at making sure it's clear to people at what level we are pitching these particular topics at various times. I've always found it interesting where we have some requests for very specific technical issues or very limited geopolitical issues. They seem to be ideal satellite topics, but I'm not sure we need to then measure those across every single region and all of our potential for capacity building. I also think there's a difference between capacity building and in-service training and development, but that's just me being pedantic. On the point that Tijani made, and this is my fear of how one uses analysis of these things, where he referred to 1300 being
the preferred time, it was marginally ahead of the 2100. It was a very narrow preference. So if one sticks to either just a 21 or either a 13 in preference, then you look then at the significant disenfranchisement you're going to make to those people who chose the other. What you should be doing, in my view, when you look at these sorts of is this your preferred time, as an example, is see whether or not there is a time which is so clearly unpreferred, not marginally preferred. Just a caution again, I for one will turn up whatever bloody time of day you put on these things, because I'm just difficult like that. I'm not sure that the rest of the APAC region is going to get up between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. all the time to do capacity building, whether it needs it or not. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. The intention wasn't to switch to 13 UTC or to have the majority of our webinars at 13 UTC. It was only not to be in the future not to stick to a real balance between 13 and 21, is to accommodate the speaker's time without very much care about 13 or 20 or 21. This was the idea. And if there is a possibility, if we can make, for example, yes, you're right, it is not a real, frank, very clear preference for 13 UTC, but it is a slight preference, and that's why I said when we have the choice, we have always to accommodate the speaker's time, and if we are balanced, it's okay. If we are not balanced and we are a little bit more for 13 UTC, it doesn't matter. If we are also not balanced because the speaker's preference, and we are more for more with 21 UTC, it doesn't matter neither. But if we have the choice between this and the others, we may have perhaps not 10, for example. No, they are 12. Not 6, we can have 5, 7, for example. That's all. Anyway, so Olivier.
Thanks very much, Tejani. Olivier Capanablon speaking. And strangely enough, actually, my comment follows very well with what Cheryl has said. Our webinars are recorded, and I think that's one of the biggest things, the most important things there. Because they're webinars, because they are recorded, because, yes, there is an opportunity to have questions and answer sessions, but there's also this whole presentation aspect to it. That makes it twice, if not more than twice as important that it would be recorded, archived, easy to search, perhaps using some search words or some kind of a taxonomy or some way to basically, through keywords or something, be able to navigate those recordings. And I do not know whether we have a tracking of how many times these things were watched, how many times the recordings were watched. I would really hope that we look at a way to track how many times these things are watched after they've been recorded. And one of the ways, one easy way, would be to actually transfer them over to a YouTube channel. So we could then see from the YouTube channel how many people are watching those. And perhaps from there, we could even, using Google Analytics, find out from what region these webinars are watched. So we might see, and I'm just purely speculating here, that in the Asia-Pacific and Pacific Islands regional at-large organization, in that part of the world, because of the bad timing for the live session, there could be a good peak of people watching from that region later on, watching the recording. This sort of stuff that we really now need, I think, to look at in a certain way. And I don't think it's that difficult. You know, the stuff that we have, webinars, can be a live cast on YouTube, and then they can be directly recorded immediately as they end. So there are ways to get around this, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to track this watching of things later on rather than always resorting to people being able to be there between time X and time Y. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Olivier, for this transition. It is a very good transition to what I wanted to say. Thanks to our cooperation with Betsy, we will manage to start this year with our webinars directly run through iCanLearn platform. And you don't imagine the possibilities and the opportunities that this platform can give, especially for retrieve, especially for follow how many times it was retrieved, how many times people stay on it, etc., and how long they stay on a webinar. So this will be done through iCanLearn in the future, no more Adobe Connect. And they have a small problem of the multiple channels. And since we are a multiple language webinars, we will keep the bridge, the phone bridge, and they will try to make a way to have a way to have it recorded so that people can choose when they want to retrieve it, to choose between the languages. So this will be done, and I am really happy with our cooperation with iCanLearn, and it is going very good. Okay, if there is no other question, and we need to go to the other part of our call, which is the planning for this year. So, Evin, can you please display the list of? So, as you know, we asked you to give us your preferred topics, and you gave us your topics. We have the list here; you can read them. But since we noted that people who are attending are experienced, we launched another round of survey, more or less, for all the RALOs to reach out to their members and to ask them to give us their preferred topics, so that perhaps we will have topics from newcomers, and we will try to include them to make those people come to our webinars. So this is the list of the topics. Since we started this second survey a few days ago, and we put as deadline 10 of February, we will have the complete list after 10 of February, and we'll compile it. We will call for another call to set the final list of topics for this year. But we will not stay like this. If you read those topics, you will see that there is a lot of interest in GDPR in this list. So we may have now the first webinar on GDPR and what the end user need to know about it. What impact may have the GDPR on the end user? So this is I propose you that we start this year with a webinar on GDPR and the impact of it on the end users. Also, perhaps the compilation, the call for the call, and after the doodle, we will have our final list after 15 February, for example, or after for sure it will be after 15 February. So we need to prepare another topic for February, and we propose. Moment. We propose. Moment, please. Yes. We propose to address ELAC and RALO hot topics. Why should end users care? I think that we are working on hot topics since several months now. And we have several RALOs have already defined their hot topics. And also ELAC at large in general have their own hot topics. So if we make a webinar to explain the interest of the hot topics, why we are defining those hot topics, and having Alan speaking about the at-large hot topics, and then each RALU chair who already established their hot topic come and speak about their hot topics, I think it will be a good webinar for February. This is my proposal, and I want to hear from you. Yes, Cheryl, please. Cheryl, go ahead. You are muted.
Sorry, I hadn't muted I hadn't unmuted myself, my error. I was typing and I thought I'll just put my hand up and quickly say it. Two things. First of all, it strikes me with the list even so far that a couple of these topics, absolutely, we're going to get some trends out of this list, and GDPR is an obvious one, and it is a, if I can reuse the term, hot topic, a hot topic at the moment. It's like many subjects, it's going to have a life of its own for a given amount of time, and it's something that we need to always be able to respond to and effectively upskill people and facilitate interaction on, as well as more basically capacity build them on the understanding of what it actually means. But there's other things, such as the one you just mentioned, which is, you know, why should users care about certain things? They're going to have a longer life, I guess, as materials. And they can possibly be dealt with in a different way. Some topics also here strike me that they would lend themselves almost immediately for mini modules or parts of mini modules for just straight into ICANN Learn. They almost seem like, you know, we need to put them into a curriculum for and help develop the material rather than run for us global webinars on them. Anyway, that's just my thoughts on this first reading of this document. Thanks.
Cheryl, the last part of what you said wasn't clear because the line was very good, very bad. But I understood that you support the first proposal for GDPR, and you said something about the hot topics, and you said perhaps another way to address it, and I didn't understand what you said about that. Can you... Cheryl, do you hear me?
Yes, Tijani, did you want me to repeat it? I didn't know whether it was just you or if everyone had a problem hearing me.
Just now I hear you very good. Just the last part.
Okay,
you
fine.
Said there is another way to address it.
Thank you. I'll briefly review the last part. What I said is some of these topics seem to me to immediately lend themselves as material for just straight curriculum development to go straight into ICANN Learn. In other words, they are little mini modules in their own right, and that they can, some of them have long life, some of them have very short life, but they could be just developed, we could source input and develop a material for them to just go straight into ICANN Learn, but not to try and put them out as globally relevant capacity building material.
Okay, so can you please list or tell us even by on the mailing list what are those topics that you feel that they may be developed as curriculum for ICANN Learn?
Tijani, I think we'll be having another meeting on this. I am not going to spend any more of my life on mailing lists than I do already. But let me give you an example. The slow uptake of IPv6 in the Latin American region doesn't have global outreach. It is important, and it would make an ideal mini-module.
Okay, understand. Very well. Understand very well. Thank you very much. Any other remark? So I understand that you agree with my proposal for January and February. So for January, I propose 24 January about GDPR, and I will invite Thomas Rickett and Chuck Gomes. Thomas, we speak about the GDPR in general and specifically for the DNS, means who is, etc. And then Chuck, we speak about what the working group is sharing, is doing or is dealing, how the working group is dealing with this issue of GDPR. So this is for the first webinar. We are okay. Very good. So now let us go. We are almost done with the time, but we need to go through the chair selection. I am candidate, if you want. And if there is someone candidate to chair the working group, I am happy to have it with me and have you selecting one of us. And if the person is better than me, if I am convinced that he can give the added value, I will step back for him. So any candidate for the chairmanship? I don't see anyone. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. I am ready to continue to chair this working group. Yes. So when, yes, Alberto Soto, go ahead.
This is Alberto Soto for the record. Sorry, Tijani, for you, but you will have to continue as the chair of these working groups. I'm very sorry for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Alberto. Okay, so this is the item number 6. Any other business now? I don't see any hand. So there is no other business. Thank you very much for attending this call. We will have another call as soon as we receive the new topics. We will compile them and propose them to you, and then we will make the last choice of all the program of 2018. Thank you very much for your presence, and I'd like to thank very much our staff, wonderful staff, and also the interpreters. Thank you. Bye-bye. This call is adjourned.
Thank you all. This meeting is now adjourned. Don't forget to disconnect your audio, please. Have a lovely rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Bye, all. Thank you. Bye-bye.